Good afternoon, Cell Group, and welcome back to our consideration of last Sunday's Gospel, which was, again, John's prologue, John chapter 1, verses 1 to 18. Now, a good way to look at this is to regard it as poetry. It's wisdom poetry with some prose sections breaking the flow. A reflection on how John is going to bring us through in detail some of the points that he raises in this prologue. So it's a kind of an appetizer for the whole gospel. The gospel really is focused around the question of who is Jesus? And we hear all these descriptions of who Jesus is in the prologue. So just beginning at the start, a good place to start, I suppose. We have a new creation in verse 1. He starts off with, in the beginning was the Word. So that sets a tone, that would resonate with faithful Jews of the book of Genesis. It starts off with, in the beginning God created heaven and earth. So here's a new creation starting off with Jesus. And that theme is repeated throughout the Gospel, especially at the Last Supper when he bowed his head and he gave up his spirit, and the crucifixion, and he said, it is consummated, receive the Holy Spirit. So it's a bit like the whole creation begins with the start of this Gospel. The announcing of the good news of Jesus. And the second verse talks about union with the Father. Again, a description of who Jesus is, that he was united with the Father. The Father and I are one. And he says this also throughout his gospel in chapter 10, verse 30. All things came to be through him, and without him, nothing came to be. So through him is a huge, important thing to say. Jesus is the source of life, source of creation. We can think of, no one can come to the Father except through me. So then we have this theme of light and life, verse 4. Through him was life, and this life was the light of man, or the light of the human race. Jesus described himself in John 14, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, even though he dies, he will live, and everyone who believes in me will never die. That's John chapter 11. So these are all themes that he raises in this prologue that are more explicitly lined out in his gospel. In verse 5 we have light and darkness. The light shines in the darkness, and darkness has not overcome it. That's a huge theme in the nativity icon, that darkness is in the cave where Jesus is born. He's the light of the world. He's clothed in brightness. And it's a light that darkness cannot overpower. But Jesus himself talks about, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness. He will have the light of life. That's chapter 8 in John's Gospel, verse 12. So then we have verse 6 about John the Baptist, 6 and 7, and his function, and how John's Gospel makes it clear he was not the light, only a witness to speak for the light. Clearly identifying John in his role as one who speaks for Jesus, one who comes before Jesus, one who points him out. And the reason for this is that John's Gospel was written for people who included disciples of John the Baptist, and just making it clear that John the Baptist himself wasn't the Messiah. He was sent to precede the Messiah. He was sent to point out the Messiah. So verse 9, then, he was sent into the world this is indeed the prophet that has come into the world, John chapter 6. So coming into the world, and the world isn't just the planet Earth. The world is the whole world of politics, relationships, human affairs, ambitions, all the things, including evil, but not just evil, but all the things that go on in the world. The Lord came into that world and was the Word made flesh, the Word of God. And then there's this refusal, the opposition of his own in verse 11. The people, he came into his own didn't receive him. This whole theme that continues through all the gospel writers of opposition to the message of Jesus. The Jews disputed among themselves, saying, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" That's in John 6, verse 52. So he had opposition all the way through his ministry, all the way through proclaiming this message of life, which when you come to think of it is sort of surprising. The message of life should be received generously and gladly. But to all who did receive his word, he gave power to become children of God in verse 12. That's a big compliment then to those who listen to this gospel, who do believe in Jesus, who are part of the community. He's telling them that they are children of God. To all those who believe in his name, who are born not by natural generation or by human choice, but by my man's decision, but by God, born of God, children of God. So, continuing on then, the next verse 13. this born of God is a theme in John's Gospel, big theme. Nicodemus coming to him in the night, saying, "How can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Verily I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and the Spirit." So this is the coming to awareness of the importance of Jesus in our lives, the importance of his word in our lives. You're born of God. So this this prologue then outlines some of the great themes that are going to follow in the gospel. Basically an answer to who is Jesus, what does he do, and a whole beautiful description of the word become flesh, and that word bringing about a whole new creation in us. We are the new creation. Fantastic theme, a joyful theme, I think, at this time of the year. So then some questions to share and discuss. John opens the gospel with a profound reflection on the meaning of creation, of life, and of Jesus. Just recall when you had a special awareness of the gift of life that filled you with gratitude to God for creation and the beauty and wonder of the world. All things came into being through him, and without him not one thing came into being. So just share that reflection, that observation of God's creation with the group. Second question. We hear the gospel message frequently. Sometimes it goes in one ear and out the other. And there are occasions when it makes us feel alive, times when it helps us to see the way ahead, like a light that shines in the darkness. Reflect on those times and share with the group how these times helped you to have hope in the midst of anxiety or sadness, and helped you to see what action would be most life-giving for you and for others. And maybe a third one, if you have time. Bring to mind people who have had a prophetic voice in the world, speaking the truth for the world to hear, like a witness to testify for the light. Some of these might have been public figures, like politicians or public speakers. Others were ordinary people who have helped you to see the light by the witness of their own lives and words. Just share with the group who these people might be. And God bless you all for spending this time reflecting on God's word on this second week after Christmas. God bless you.